Welcome to the Gathering Place Silverton Teaching Podcast. We are a community committed to helping people learn and live the way of Jesus in Silverton. We believe that our growth happens best within community. If you're not yet a part of a Jesus-centered community, we invite you to join us for one of our Sunday gatherings or go to gatheringplace.faith to find out more about how to get connected. Maybe this is a story you've heard before, but there was a man that was stuck on his roof in a really big flood. And he was praying to God for help, and soon a rowboat came by. And the fellow shouted to the man on the roof, and he said, "Hey, jump in, I can save you." The stranded fellow shouted back, No, it's okay. I'm praying to God, and he's going to save me." So the rowboat went on, and then a motorboat came by, and the fellow on the motorboat shouted, "Jump in, I can save you." To this stranded man, he said, no thanks, I'm praying, and God, he's going to save me, so I'm good, So the motorboat drove off, or boated off, whatever they do. Helicopter comes by, and the pilot shouts out, "Hey, grab this rope, I'll lift you up to safety." Again, the stranded man says, "No thanks, I'm praying to God, and he's going to save me, I have faith, So the helicopter reluctantly flies off, and soon the water rises to the rooftop, and the man ends up drowning, and he goes to heaven. Meets God, finally has a chance to discuss this whole situation with God, in which he points, he says to God, "Hey, I have faith in you, but you didn't save me. Like, you let me drown. I don't understand why." To this, God replied, "I sent you a rowboat and a motorboat and a helicopter. What in the world did you expect? What did you expect?" Well, we're in this series called Learning to Hear When God Speaks. And Ashley talked about this idea that God speaks to us through scripture. Last week, Lainey talked about this idea that God speaks to us through a whisper. And this week, I tell you this silly story about the man on the boat or on the man on the roof to illustrate this point that I think it's really easy to miss that God is speaking to us in our everyday lives. Would you agree? It's really easy to miss that. And call me crazy, but I don't think it's because he's not speaking. Like, I don't think we miss it because he's not speaking. I would suggest that we often, like the man on the top of the roof during a flood, God is speaking, and somehow we just somehow end up missing it. We end up missing that God is actually talking to us. Maybe we're hoping for an audible voice from heaven. Maybe we're hoping to open up our Bibles to a random place and land on a page, and then God's going to say exactly what. Anybody done that before? No, am I the only? I'm the only one. We're gonna, exactly there, and like, "Oh, the Lord spoke to me." Or maybe we've asked God for a sign before, but no sign comes. This is really difficult for us. maybe even scary or painful for us, because we're likely trying to hear God's voice for our life because we're in a place where we're in deep need. Like, oftentimes we come to the Lord and we're like, "Man, we need something from God. We need God to help us." And if you're a human, any humans in the room? If you're a human, you're likely trying to hear God because you need wisdom, because you need direction, because you need breakthrough. You need him to guide you through a big decision. You need him to tell you yes or no or wait or something. Would you agree? And maybe it's just me, but I think at times in my life, I felt like God's voice is almost imperceivable. Like, he speaks to other people, but he just doesn't speak to me. Can anybody relate to that? Have you felt that before? And can I just say this? You're not alone. You're in good company. We're all in the process of growing in our ability to recognize the activity of God in our lives. We're all in a process of learning to grow and understand and hear and perceive the voice of the Lord for our lives. And all to say this morning that I think that there's hope. I think that we have hope because I believe it's possible to actually grow in our ability to hear God for our lives. I really do. Author David Benner, spiritual formation guy, in this awesome book called The Gift of Being Yourself, 5 stars, would recommend. He says this: God is not alien to the circumstances of our lives, but comes to us in them. Our challenges, or our challenge is to unmask the divine, the natural, and name the presence of God in our lives. Writer John Mark Comer says this to the same effect. Often we expect to find God where we go to him, at church or in prayer or at a retreat. And he's there for sure. He's everywhere. But he's also where we least expect him, at the office, in the meeting that's spiraling out of control, in biology class, in the kitchen, where we're paying, when you're paying off the mountain of your debt for the vacation to Kauai, he's there too. Some of what I want to suggest this morning is this. We miss God's voice because we're looking for him to show up within the extraordinary. But most often he shows up in the ordinary activity of our lives. We miss him because we're looking for him to show up in the extraordinary, but he really often shows up in just the ordinary activity of our lives. And if you're a note taker today, message title is this, Hearing God in our ordinary circumstances and daily life. And the big idea is this, God is speaking to us through our ordinary circumstances. We're just not always aware of it. We're just not always aware of it. And what I'd like to do this morning is just talk a bit about some of the ordinary means and circumstances that God uses to speak to us that we often just miss or overlook or maybe even dismiss as, we just don't see it. And my hope is today that as we walk through this, that maybe you could grab even just one thing that's helpful, helpful for you in your attempts to hear God's voice for your life. And that maybe you would become a bit more aware of even just one adjustment that you could make that would help you in this ability to hear God for your life. Maybe it's a new rhythm, maybe it's something you pick up, but just one thing is what I'm hoping for. In the words of David Benner, to help you unmask the divine in the natural. So a little overview of just kind of where we're headed today. We're going to look at some of the ordinary circumstances God uses to speak to us, like some common, maybe most common things. Number two, we're going to look at reasons we tend to miss God's voice in those circumstances. And number three, we're going to look at some practices that can aid us in noticing God's voice in those ordinary circumstances. And before we jump in, you guys want to pray with me? Jesus, we just give this time to you. And we just open ourselves up to hearing from you. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us? Lord, we want to hear your voice. God, I pray that I would just get out of the way, that you would speak through me. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So what we'll do is we're going to walk through three ways that God speaks to us that are just, I would say, rather ordinary, maybe even missed. So I'll move through these, and then we'll move into a bit of what we can do to become more aware of what God is up to and when he shows up in our circumstances. So does that sound good? Okay, number one. First thing is this. God speaks to us by slowing us down or stopping us from something. God speaks to us through slowing us down or stopping us from something. In the book of Acts, in the early church is emerging, we read like quite a bit about the apostles and the disciples of Jesus who are really working hard to like spread the good news, right? They're trying to spread the gospel, trying to preach places. And one of those guys is the apostle Paul. Are you familiar with the apostle Paul? Yes, the Paul. Was Saul, now is Paul, who's fully dependent on hearing the voice of the Lord for the work that he was setting out to accomplish. Now, it would be easy to assume that, hey, man, if I'm just going to spread the gospel, like, if I'm going to just do good things, it doesn't really matter where I go, right? But here's the thing. The Lord had a different idea for Paul and his friends. We're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 16. I got the Sky Bible behind me. Acts chapter 16 describes their attempts to move from one place to another to preach the gospel. So it says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of, Mysia, it totally is. There it is. It's in there. Mysia, They tried to enter Bethsaida. Bethania. Wow, guys. It's like I've read this before, I promise. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia, and they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Okay, so lots of things I could point out on this scripture, but I want to point out that it was the Holy Spirit that kept them from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And then again, it was the Spirit that prevented them from going to Bithynia, whatever that place is called. You know it. Now, it doesn't say exactly how he did it or what he did to prevent them, how he stopped them, but it does tell us that Paul ended up having a vision and ended up giving them a clear direction of where they should go and where they were meant to preach the gospel after all. Now, I want you to think about your life for a second, all right? Do you have any obstacles in your life right now? Do you have any obstacles in your life right now? Do you have anything that has disturbed or slowed down your life recently? So just let that come to mind, probably most of us. Anything that feels like you're kind of banging your head against the wall, like, why will this not get out of the way? Why is this slowing me down? What I'm getting at is that when we are stopped or slowed down or redirected, this may be an indication that God is attempting to speak to us. It may be an indication that he is inviting us to consider a different route, something that is new, something that is different than we are currently doing. Maybe it's a financial shortcoming or a major unexpected expense that's slowing you down. Maybe it's a relational rupture that's forced you to put your plans on hold. Maybe it's a failed business venture or an unexpected layoff from your job. Whatever it is, these are the kinds of circumstances that pretty much all of us face, right? And these are the kinds of things that God will use to speak to us and redirect to us within our lives. And here's the thing. I think that all too often we ignore the stop signs. Anybody ever ignored a stop sign from the Lord and then retroactively you're like, oh no, I probably should have stopped. We ignore the stop signs that God is giving us and we continue to go for the things that we want. I don't know if you're aware of this, but we have this cultural impulse that looks at obstacles only exclusively as something that we can overcome. Are you aware of this impulse of culture? Call me crazy, but this mindset has worked itself into like our collective psyche. A little experiment for you here, okay? See if you can finish this sentence. Ready? If at first you don't succeed, try again. If at first you don't succeed, I don't even know who coined that phrase. Probably CEO of a really productive company. If at first you don't succeed, try again. And maybe it's our like Oregon Trail rugged individualism. Maybe it's just like an American thing, but like we're on the Oregon Trail and we're heading west. Anybody play that game growing up? Oregon Trail heading west and then Susie gets dysentery, you know, our daughter. And what do? Do we turn back? Do we head east? No. We just keep going, baby. We're like, I don't got no time. I got to make it to the coast, baby. But here's the thing. It's okay to stop. It's okay to turn back. Or at the very least, ask the question, God, are you in this? God, what are you doing? God, what would you have me do? Our instinct is to try and try and try again. Yes, sometimes perseverance is the answer, right? Sometimes hard things happen and we push through. But sometimes we need to realize that it is the Holy Spirit telling us to stop and change course. And maybe there's something, someone needs to hear this morning, but to stop something that needs to be stopped and end something that needs to be end or delay something that needs to be delayed is not failure. And maybe you've got your mind made up, if I do this thing, if I stop this thing, I will be a failure. That's not necessarily the case. The Apostle Paul experienced setbacks ranging from simple redirection, shipwrecks, imprisonment, and I would argue that none of those things were failures. None of those things were failures. There were simply moments where God was speaking to Paul about what he would have him do next by stopping and by slowing him down. And God may be speaking to you right now in the same kind of way in your life. So again, get before your mind. Is there something that feels like maybe the Lord is stopping you or slowing you down and saying, hang on? And we'll come back to that because we'll have time to kind of reflect on that. Next thing is this. God speaks to us through our pain and discomfort. Oof. Are you aware of this? God speaks to us through our pain and our discomfort. C.S. Lewis wrote this about pain. He says, we can ignore even pleasure, but pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is the megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Most of us in this room are no stranger to some sort of pain, some sort of discomfort, whether it's physical pain for a body that isn't doing what it's supposed to do, maybe it's breaking down, maybe it's the emotional pain of watching a loved one deteriorate or even pass away. Experiencing the death of my dad and my sister in the last year and a half, like a year and a half gap between the two. One of the most painful and confusing things that I have ever experienced in my life. On so many levels, watching my mother-in-law struggle for over 5 years with a debilitating stroke and then pass away this past year, not what we would have chosen. Not what I would have chosen. I would have hoped for something totally different. I've experienced pain in my life, but I'm by no means an expert, so I'm not going to stand before you and be like, I'm an expert in pain and understanding what God's doing in pain, because I'm definitely not. But I feel as though, and I even feel like as though I'm still searching for answers. Like, God, why? But there's a few things that I think I know for sure. I don't have notes for them, but as long as we live in a world that there is sin in, we will experience pain. I know this to be true. Number two, our pain is not pointless. Our pain's not pointless. Like, it's not pointless. Number three, God speaks to us through our pain and discomfort. So if there's pain, why? If it's not pointless, what's the point? And if God speaks to us through our pain, what is he saying? I'm just going to do this. I'm going to take a few minutes just to read through a few scriptures written by individuals who knew what it meant to experience pain, that knew what it meant to live in the midst of grief and suffering, and then they took the time to put pen to paper. And these are just four verses that are written by authors within the scripture. First one is this. This is David, King David, who's in a spot where he's being pursued by like 400 soldiers who are out to kill him. A bit of a painful situation where somebody who he thought he could trust turned on him and was sending people after him. Psalm 34, 17 and 18 says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. This is what he said. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And then years after reflecting back, David writes Psalm 23, and he says this in Psalm 23, 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, some say the valley of the shadow of death, I was going straight Coolio in that one, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. And then Job, who lost all of his wealth, and all of his children, all 10 of his children, says this in Job 13. And why do I put myself in jeopardy and take my life into my hands? Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. Apostle Paul wrote this about his struggles he was facing, which he was going through a lot of stuff. One of these things he described as a thorn in the flesh, something he couldn't shake, a continual agony or pain or something that was bothering him. It says this, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Here's what I see when I read these verses written by these men. Number one, pain and discomfort break through the illusion of our own self-sufficiency. Pain and discomfort break through the illusion of our own self-sufficiency. The belief that we can actually fully take care of ourselves. It's just not true. Pain and discomfort cause us to realize our great need for God. And number three, pain and comfort is the place where God is eager to meet us. He wants to meet us in our pain and our discomfort. He wants to speak to us through our pain and through our discomfort. You know, I don't know what pain and suffering that you are going through today. And I don't know exactly like what God wants to say to you through your pain today. But I know that he does want to speak to you in your pain this morning. I don't know what he'll say, but I know that he wants to. He does want you to hear his voice in the midst of your pain. And I'm actually going to have Trish come up for a little bit because we're going to do something. Don't think it's the end of the message, though. We're like halfway through, okay? So Trish will play, and here's what we're going to do. We're just going to take a little bit of time to try to listen to the Lord about our pain that we're experiencing. So once again, I want you to get before your mind the pain that you might be experiencing in your life. And here's what we're going to do. I felt like I was supposed to do this in my message prep, and so we'll just see how it plays out because it feels a little risky and a little scary. So here's how it's going to go. We're just going to sit for a few minutes, and we're going to listen to the Lord, and we're just going to ask him to speak to us. And we'll just sit quietly, anticipating that he will. And here's the risky part. I'm going to ask us to do 2 things. Number one, I want you to ask and listen for God and what he might say to you for your pain. But I also want you to sit and to listen to God for what he might say for us and maybe some of our pain. And then here's where it gets really risky and a little scary. It's scary for me because I'm like, somebody's gonna say something weird. That's scary. I'm being honest with you right now. That scares me. But I'm going to trust that the Lord is going to speak to us. And so after we sit for a little bit and we wait, I'm going to invite you if you would be, it's not everybody, but if there's somebody that feels bold enough and they want to share what they feel like the Lord said to them, either for themselves or for somebody else, we're going to take a couple minutes to like pass around a mic and do that. So actually I will totally in a minute need like a mic runner, but does that sound good? So we're just going to sit and listen. And before we get into the sharing portion, I do actually want to share one thing. Maybe it's a specific scripture that the Lord shares with you. Maybe it's a word of encouragement. Maybe it's a word picture. I'll explain the filters before we share. So let's just sit in his presence for like 2 to 3 minutes and anticipate him speaking to us. Sound good? All right. In his book, How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People, Pete Gregg, the author, says that before you share what you think that the Lord is asking you to share, whether it's a word or a picture, a prophetic word, a vision, that you should ask yourself the following question. So I'm going to have you ask yourself this following question. Will the thing that I'm seeing, hearing, or sensing bring encouragement if I share it? Will it be edifying, which means building people up if I share it? And most important of all, does it sound like Jesus? And then he gives this really fantastic set of filters that I want you to run your word that you might have got from the Lord through before you share it with the group. And it's the ABCs. Number one, is it affirming? Does this word fulfill the criteria in 1 Corinthians 14, being something that is strengthening, encouraging, comforting, and edifying and building? Upbuilding, uplifting. Is it biblical? Is this word consistent with the broad teachings and witness of Scripture, not just maybe a specific cherry-picked Scripture out of context? And then number three, is it Christ-like? Is the word consistent with the character and the mission and the message of Jesus? I want to open it up, whether it's you sharing something that that was for you that the Lord told you, or something that maybe is for the whole group, if you would be so bold. And then I'll have, if you have it, you can stand up or raise your hand and Lacey can run a microphone to you. Brian, could I be so bold as to tell you that I think you're supposed to share that word that you had this morning during worship? Yeah. You can take it to Brian.
This morning during worship, some of you know that we've been kind of going through a lot in the last year. And God spoke to me this morning during worship. As I was singing, I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. I told the Lord that I can't do this on my own. And he spoke five words to me. I never asked you to. And immediately after that, I had a peace about this whole situation that it's just going to be okay. And no matter what anybody is going through this morning, you're not alone. You never have been alone, and you won't be alone. He is there with you.
Thank you. Yeah.
The pastor and I were speaking out here, and I was going to tell him a vision I had the first day I visited here. I'm visiting a family locally, and the first Sunday I was here, in the middle of worship, I saw almost like dew, and it was like the Holy Spirit just drops falling into your sanctuary. And as I began to look up into heaven, I just saw that the dewdrops were falling and sprinkling. And then all of a sudden, the rivers of life from the Holy Spirit just began to flow into your congregation. And I just want to encourage you, as a man of God myself, that the presence of the Lord is so powerful here. And it's all because of your humility. It's all because of your desire in the heart that you have for Jesus. And so as I was just praying, both about myself and others, the Lord just gave me 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And so that, I just believe, is a word for all of us, that God has great things planned for you, and to remain, all of us, humble before him and seek him constantly, and he will bless you and blow your mind. Amen.
Yeah, thank you. Amen to that. Anybody else? We got Gail.
I was reminded of the two most beautiful things in my life, my son and my daughter, and how the pain that they came through. And, you know, if you'd asked me the week after they were born, I might have said, no, I'm not having any more kids. But it didn't take long until I realized that the beautiful thing that had come through my pain was worth it all.
That's good.
God has been speaking to me lately, mostly this morning, but to say that this world that we're living in today is really trying to separate us from God. And this morning, I heard him loud and clear that no matter what happens on earth, may it be hard or whatever it may be, we are going to go and live with him in eternal life. So that was really humbling for me to hear. It's been a really big worry for me. But I heard it loud and clear, and that's not the first time that I've been spoken to by God in this space. So that was really reassuring. I love it here.
That's good. I think that's for other people. Yeah, lots of people in here. Anybody else?
Stand and I might throw up. This is terrifying. Okay. Thank you. So relationships are what I'm realizing. I don't remember what was said right before that came to my mind, but I wrote down relationships are my pressure point. And over the years, I feel like that's where my biggest pain comes from, is whether I feel like I've failed in relationships or I don't know how to make it better or fix it. It all kind of comes down to relationships being my pain, because I can solve everything else, I think. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just occurred to me that that's where he's making me uncomfortable and pinpointing my pain, because he just wants me to know that he is the perfect relationship, and I just refuse to like lean into that and learn what that means and how to translate that into my like outward life. That's it.
Thanks, Rachel. Probably have time for a couple more.
I just want to say thank you to the man in the back that spoke first. What God said to you, said to me. So it's hard. The world is just hard. It's hard being a mom. It's hard. Life's hard. And so just, he's always there for me. No matter what, there's a bigger plan. The hard turns into blessings later on that you can look at back and you can see how God works, and then you share how God moved those hard moments into really great moments of growth.
That's good. Thanks, Amy. Anybody else? Don, yeah.
I feel like the Lord's just been telling me to wait. And he's told me to do this before. And what's interesting about when he asks you to wait is usually comes with peace, because he'll give you peace regarding that. But sometimes he requires you to seek him for the peace. And he's requiring me to seek him for the peace. So if you don't get peace right at the moment when he's asking you to wait, seek him, get into him. Move towards him, it will come.
That's good. Oh, we got Finley back there. All right.
Finley.
One of our young Skibs. Skibs, I don't know where they are.
Skibs.
I just want to say that if you don't,
right,
if you don't feel
here,
like you have a purpose in life, when you wake up every morning, it's like God, he wants you to be here. He wants you to stay alive. I'm trying to find my words while I'm saying this, but you wake up every morning and he wants you to be there with him, and you're walking by his side every day and every step of the way, and he's just always watching you, and he wants you to be with him forever.
That's really good, Finley. Yeah, and I feel like maybe there's somebody that needs to hear that one, which is, you don't feel like it's worth waking up. And the Lord sees you, and it is worth waking up. And there's people who love you, and Jesus loves you, and he wants to walk right alongside you. And he's put you in this community so that you can get help. We want to walk with you. We want to help you follow Jesus. We want you to see that you're valuable and you are loved by God and by us. So that's a good word, Finley. Okay. I have more message to cover, but if you feel like you have, if you have a word, we'll give a chance for that. So thank you, Trish. How are those fingers doing? You played wonderfully. Oh man. That wasn't too weird, right? Like, you know, the Lord's speaking through his people. It's not just the dude with the microphone. Whew. Get you every time. Oh, my next point, guys. God speaks to us through our bodies. I think it says God speaks to us through your bodies. But it's just God speaks to us through our bodies. I think I changed the verbiage and who did that? Your bodies, all right? I don't know if you are aware of this, but you don't just have a body, you are a body. Anybody? You don't just have a body, you are a body. Therefore, your body is integral in what it means to live the way of Jesus. Your body is more than just a flesh bag that's moving around holding a spirit. Like you were, yeah, I know, gross, right? You're a whole integrated person, and God actually speaks through your body to you. Your spiritual formation writer, Ruth Haley Barton, says in her book, Sacred Rhythms, which again, 5 stars, 5.5 stars if you could give it, would recommend. She says this, sniffles. Our bodies have much to tell us if we could only figure out how to listen. In fact, oftentimes God speaks to us through our bodies. Most times our body is the first to know if we are overcommitted, stressed, uneasy, or joyful, and when we need to attend to something that is causing us pain or disease. Anybody experienced that before, any of those things? I'm sure none of you would be surprised if I told you that that there is a profound impact to our health even from living in a constant state of worry and anxiety, which we are like experiencing at such a high level, right? There's so much to be worried about and anxious about, and people are falling victim to that. There's many aspects of the human body we could talk about, but I'm just gonna pick on worry and anxiety. Does that sound good? Yeah, worry and anxiety. And here's why. For starters, it's so harmful and it's so prevalent within our society. Recent large-scale study surveyed found that 44% of those surveyed were found to have symptoms of anxiety. That's like almost half of the people in the U.S. who have some symptoms of anxiety. And secondly, God has a lot to say about worry and anxiety. There's over 30 verses related to overcoming worry and anxiety within the scriptures. And in case you're wondering, none of them say that you should worry and have anxiety. All of them are like, not a good idea. Not a good idea to have anxious, to be anxious or to be worried. And here's just two short yet important messages or passages about worry and anxiety. So this is Jesus in Matthew 6 talking about worry. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your bodies, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and your body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And then here's what the Apostle Paul says in his letter to the church in Philippi. It says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what do the scriptures tell us about anxiety, worry in our bodies? First, God designed our bodies to tell us we are overly concerned or worried about something, or worried about the wrong things. God designed our bodies to tell us that we are overly concerned or worried about the wrong things. Maybe it's what you wear or what you look like. Maybe you're you overspend your money to impress people. Maybe you've been overly concerned with what people think about you. So you obsess over managing your image online or in social media or in social events. Maybe you're worried about money, so you overwork. And you're stingy because you're like, if I give this away, I won't have any. Whatever your thing is, whatever your hang-up is, or you're hung up on, the reality is that it will rob you of your peace. Whatever the thing is. And it adds, there's this added bonus of it robbing your life. In fact, like, the health impacts of having worry and anxiety are catastrophic. Number two, anxiety and worries remind us of what we are meant to do. So anxiety and worries remind us of what we are actually meant to do. What do I mean? Well, as our kids have been growing up, we've taught them about this. We've taught this scripture to them like over and over again, the Philippians 4, 6 through 7, and what it says, that they can come to God with their anxieties and their worries and they can exchange them for peace. So it's that word that you had, Don. You can come with your worries and the anxieties and you can actually exchange them for peace. And what we tell our kids is this, like, your anxiety, not all of it's bad, but you need to remember that your anxiety is like an alarm clock. It's an alarm clock that's going off to remind you that you need to go to God with everything, right? And when you're able to give those things over to God, He is willing and able to exchange our anxieties for His peace. Right? Peace is this idea of shalom and wholeness. Anxiety is this part of like being in separate parts and being divided internally, right? He wants to have there be an exchange. He is able and willing and ready and wanting to. This is what we are made to do. We are actually made to come to God with everything. And God is kind enough to remind us through our bodies that we are not made to carry any of this stuff on our own, right? You're not made to do anything without God. I mean, that's what got us into this, right? Does God speak to us through our bodies? 100%. Yes, absolutely. What is He saying to you right now? I have no idea. I don't know what He's saying to you. But I want to take a couple minutes again, not to share with everybody, but a couple minutes to just listen to see if we can hear God speak to us about what we are experiencing in our bodies. So I want you to think for a second about, just like take a minute, think about what you're experiencing. Maybe you close your eyes, actually. Let's go ahead and close your eyes. And Trish, if you wanted to play again, you totally could. Yeah, it's a vibe. So close your eyes for a second. And I want you to ask the question, Lord, what are you telling me through what's going on in my body? You know, maybe He's telling you that maybe you feel anxious, right? Maybe He's telling you that they're overcommitted. Maybe He's telling you that you're doing too much. Maybe He's telling you that there's something that you're overly concerned about. Maybe He's telling you there's something that you need to let go of. What is the Lord telling you through your body right now? Through the anxiety and the worry that you feel. So we're just gonna take a few minutes and we're just gonna listen. And I'm just gonna, Lord, I just ask that you would speak to us, that you would speak to your people. God, that you would talk to us about what we're going through. Not necessarily even just to solve it right now, Lord, but just name it for us, Lord. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear you talk to us. We're just going to give you a minute to do that, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, that you are speaking to your people. Thank you, Jesus, that you've spoken to some of us this morning. Would you keep speaking? Because we're listening. Amen. Amen. I think I'll tell a little story real quick. About 9 years ago or so, some friends of us who we like love dearly, we've been excited, you know, we'd worked together in the past and we were thinking, man, we would like be amazing to work with these guys. They called us up and they said, hey, we want you guys to think about and pray about coming down to work with us at our church. And it's like, this is amazing, right? Well, we started to pray about it and think about it. And I was just, I mean, guys, I was just overwhelmingly crushed by anxiety. Like, I just felt this like heavy, heavy weight. And it's like, man, it sucks because if I say no to this, this will never happen again. There's just not going to be another chance. My friends are going to be offering me a job anytime soon. I'm not going to get to work with them. And this feels like a really great opportunity. But just never really had peace about it. And no matter what, I just, this overwhelming anxiety. So we just felt like that anxiety is maybe a sign that we should say no. So we call our friends and reluctantly say, you know, it just, the offer is amazing, but it just feels like it's the wrong time. We're really, really sorry. And it felt like, man, I was like letting them down. I was saying no to something that felt like, yeah, that's a great opportunity. This will never come again. Well, fast forward a year later, and they called up again. And he goes, hey, last time I'm going to offer you a job. Here's this other job, also at our church. Would you think about and consider coming down? Guys, instantly, there was just this peace that came over us. And I think Ashley and I were like on a little walk. And within moments, it was like, yeah, actually, I think we would consider it. And you know what? Like, you know, end that call, Ashley and I go a little walk, a little chat. And it was like, yeah, I think that, like I knew instantly, there was exactly the opposite experience. No anxiety, no weight. It just felt like the Lord was like, yeah, I'm in this, you can go. So I don't know if you know, maybe that's helpful for you, but this feeling of like, what are you experiencing in your body? This feeling of worry, anxiety, oftentimes it is a stop sign from the Lord that says, hang tight. Like, I'm not in this. Okay, so just a little closing application for us today. God speaks to us by slowing us down, stopping us from something. God speaks to us through our pain and our discomfort, and God speaks to us through our bodies. And all of these have something in common. They're all attempts by God to like slow us down enough that we can recognize where he is in the midst of our everyday life. And the question I have is like, what if we chose to slow down? What if we chose to slow down to hear God rather than waiting to be forced to slow down? Any goers? I'm like the person that like, I will work and work and work until I'm sick. And then I have to stop. And I have to take a rest, right? Because I'm sick. What if we just chose to slow down instead of waiting for the force to slow down? Like, what if we sensed pain within our lives and we began to come to God as our first instinct instead of our last instinct? I guess I'll come to God now. Nothing else worked, right? What if we felt our anxiety start to rise up in us and we recognized God was willing and available to exchange our anxiety and our worries for peace? What if that was our like immediate instinct? A little application today. And here are two simple things. One, come to God this week the way that we did in our little prayer time today. So we were practicing. Like God did, obviously, he spoke through many people in this room. But I don't want you to just save that kind of thing for here. Like what we did, sitting and listening to the Lord and asking, what's going on in my body? Why do I feel anxious? Like, Lord, what are you trying to say to me through my pain? This is a regular thing that you can do every day of your life. It doesn't require a church service. It doesn't even require other people. So we practice today. Do that. Ask the question, what are you telling me through my pain? What are you telling me through what I feel in my body right now? Lord, what are you telling me through the fact that I just had this big explosive blow up that was way oversized for the situation? Like, what are you trying to tell me, Lord? So take what we've done this morning, we practiced together, take that home and do that. Number two, slow down so that you can pay attention this week. We are moving far too fast, guys. Like the royal we, our culture, Americans, Westerners. We're moving way too fast to live a life of deep communion with God, most of us. We're coming from thing to thing, consuming continuously. We got a eternity in our front pockets here that's always calling us into it. Like, slow down this week. Find a way to slow down. Find a way to use the space that you would normally fill with something else to just be. I think Lainey talked about it last week. She deleted her apps in her phone. Maybe that's invitation, re-invitation. You could do that too. The world won't fall apart without you being connected to the social medias. It will be okay. You can put your phone on do not disturb. And honestly, you'll probably experience peace like you haven't for a while. It is okay. And I want to leave you with this quote as we wrap up from author Ruth Haley Barton. She says this, many of us are choosing to live lives that do not set us up to pay attention, to notice those places where God is at work and to ask ourselves what these things mean. We long for a word from the Lord, but somehow we have been suckered into believing that the pace we keep is what leadership requires, or fill in the blank, what being a mom requires, what being a parent requires, what being a good employee requires. We think that the pace is what we have to continue to do, right? We slide inexorably into a way of life that offers little or no opportunity to pay attention, and then wonder why we are not hearing from God when we need God the most. Guys, we don't have to keep up the pace. God wants to speak to us. He's speaking to us through our bodies. He's speaking to us through our pain. He's speaking to us through the ordinary circumstances of our lives. And he wants communion with you every day. And that is available. That is available. So let me pray over you and just speak a word over you, and then we'll be dismissed. But Lord, we just thank you, Jesus, that you are speaking, that your words are living and active. God, that you are still talking to your people. Lord, that you want us to experience peace and shalom and wholeness. That you don't want us to live in a constant state of being disjointed and anxious and worried about everything, Lord, but that we can give all of those things. Your word says, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Your word says, be still and know that I am God, which means stop striving. Stop achieving and just sit with me. To be with God is to be changed. To sit in his presence is to be changed. Would you find space this week to sit with Jesus? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And just a benediction, just a word over you as we go. If you want to go ahead and stand with me. Jesus, may we be people that move at a pace that allows us to be attentive to your voice. May we be a people who grow in the art of coming to you with every aspect of our lives. May we be a people who get accustomed to exchanging our anxieties for your peace. And Jesus, may your kingdom come and your will be done in Silverton as it is in heaven. And all God's people said, amen.